I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, starting with verse 14, ending with verse 17. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we've known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him, thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new.
Well, good morning. Sure is good to be with you all on our first Sunday in the year 2014. The first day of the week has come again, but an old year has passed away. As we look back, there's not a lot that we can change now, but we might have been pretty proud at many of the things we did last year. We might be upset at some of the things we did not do last year or wish we could have done differently. But you know, when we think about our lives as Christians, there may not be anything that can change that then, but there's a lot that can be changed now. And that's all because of what Jesus Christ had done for us. Appreciate Brother Don reading to us a moment ago from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. You'll notice there as we begin our text in verse 14 of chapter 5, here Paul says that the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that as one died for all, then all died. That's what Jesus did for you, and that's what he did for me. He died for us. The life that he lived was sinless. The sacrifice that he made upon the cross was perfect. He shed his sinless blood that our sins could be taken away. And he died not only for our sins, but for the sins throughout the whole world. If Jesus died for us, and we are the disciples of Jesus Christ, in a sense, what he did, we also must do. And so Paul says that as he died for all, then all die. He begins to tell us in verse 15 that he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. No, we do not live for ourselves any longer if we are a follower of Christ. Rather, we must live for Jesus Christ. And as Paul concludes here on our text, there in verse 17, notice there are three things that he points out of how this all ties together. First of all, he says we must be in Christ. And then, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation, which means the former things, like last year, have passed away. And as this year unfolds, all things have become new. So what does that mean that one must be in Christ? Well, Paul explained to the Galatians exactly how one comes to be in Christ. Look with me a couple of verses in Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 26. You'll find this is spelled out very, very clearly. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Here Paul clearly says, "For you were all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Yes, we must have faith in order to come to God. You'll remember that's what the Hebrew writer taught us in chapter 11 in verse 6, when he says that without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If I diligently seek who God is and learn about His Son, Jesus Christ, I find there's only one way that I go to Him, and that is through my faith. But faith by itself is not alone, is it? Because in James chapter 2, over and over, James makes the point clearly that faith, if it have not works, is dead being alone. And how do we show our faith? We must act upon it. As Paul says to the Galatians here, that baptism is an outward sign of an inward faith. By being baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. That is how one gets in to Jesus Christ. But why, someone asks, does anyone want to be in Jesus Christ? What are the benefits of that situation? Well, Paul explained that to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, again, he gives us a Bible answer. Here Paul says, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Makes sense? All spiritual blessings are in Christ. And so if I'm outside of Christ, I do not have access to those blessings. But once I've been baptized into Christ and I put on Christ, then I have access to the redemption, the forgiveness of my sins, to the hope of everlasting life. And as we talked about recently, the fellowship with God, with His Son, and with those that have obtained like precious faith. And so as I begin to be in Christ, you'll see a change. I no longer live like I used to, but rather I live for Jesus Christ. Throughout the history of the church, you find that's exactly what Christ's disciples or His followers began to do. A common passage that we like to look at is in Acts chapter 11 and in verse 26. Do you recall what those disciples were called when they became Christians? In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, we're told that when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They seemed to lose their individuality. We began to forget exactly who we are, but rather learn more and more who Christ is. We bear the name of Christ, not a denomination, not the name of man, but we simply wear the name Christian, after Christ who we follow, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, according to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, the very one that we must live for. And so, if we are in Christ, you can see how we begin to lose ourselves. Yes, the former things indeed have passed away. And this change begins to take place when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. Notice with me Paul's letter to the Romans, because here in the 6th chapter, he links together the process of dying to things in order to live unto Christ. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, Paul asks the question, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" In verse 2, his answer is very clear. He says, "Certainly not. For how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Well, Paul, how did you die to sin? Well, he tells us in verse 3 how he did so. "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death?" Again, going back to our text in Corinthians, as Christ died for all, so we too must die. We must die unto sin. And we do so through the process of baptism. Verse 4 goes on to explain that as we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Remember that whole process that Christ went through? What happened after his death upon the cross? He was buried, wasn't he? A man found a tomb for him to be buried in, and once he was buried there, after the appointed time, he was risen from the dead. Well, Christ died and was buried and rose again, and so Paul explains that we too die to sin, are buried with Christ through baptism into death. Remember how one is buried with Christ in baptism? If you need to look at the book of Acts, chapter 8, especially refresh your memory about the Ethiopian eunuch, we're told that the eunuch and Philip both went down into the water. And after he was baptized, they both came up out of the water. It makes sense, then, that you have to be completely buried under water to completely die to sin, showing that you must go down into something in order to come up out of something. That's how baptism works. That's how we come in contact with the blood of Christ that washes away our sin. But then we don't stay under that water forever. In verse 5 of Romans chapter 6, Paul goes on to say that if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Yes, when we die to sin and come up out of that watery grave of baptism, the old man has been left behind. Instead, we begin a new life. A new process. As Christ was risen from the dead, we know that if we begin to completely follow Christ, we too will have an everlasting life that is laid up in heaven for us. I am so thankful that that old body could be destroyed. And now I can do something new. That's what Christ means to me. In verse 8 of Romans chapter 6, Paul went on to say that if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives unto God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just as Jesus continues to live to God, to his Father, so must you, and so must I also do. We no longer live for ourselves, Paul clearly explained, but rather we live unto God. And so, as remember, we are looking at what Paul initially told the Corinthians. Look in his first letter to the Corinthians. Did he tell them something very similar? I believe you'll find that to be the case. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 6, he says, beginning in verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Perhaps those in Corinth would say, "Well, you know, I used to do some of these." Or, "I should have done every single one of them." And here Paul is telling them that if they were to continue doing these things, they could not enter the kingdom of God. Well, what do we learn? The former things have passed away. Did the Corinthians have those things to change? Well, notice the very next verse in verse 11. Paul points out, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Just as the Corinthians, no doubt, all of us have things that we are not proud of. Well, you know, I used to do this, where I used to go to this place. I probably said some things I shouldn't have said. There might have even been some things that I should have had the courage to do and never got around to doing them. But that's part of the old man. Those things, indeed, have passed away. And we no longer should worry about those things. After all, they are just worldly things. Things that are only here for just a little while. Paul explained that to the church at Galatia. In Galatians chapter 2, there in verse 19, he explains, "For I through the law died to the law, that I might live unto God." Now you'll remember that the law was very important. The book of Hebrews clearly points out that the law makes us aware of sin, what right is and what wrong is. And then, once we've been aware of what's right and wrong, it's up to us to make the necessary change. Paul made that necessary change, didn't he? He said then in verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2, that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, he points back to the cross of Christ. Christ died for all, so Paul would have to die. And you know what? He really did. What's interesting, in the book of Acts, we first find him as Saul of Tarsus. It begins in chapter 7 when he consents to the death of Stephen as Stephen preaches the gospel. And then in Acts chapter 8, Saul made great havoc of the church. And then in Acts chapter 9, we find things begin to change. When finally he is led to a man by the name of Ananias that tells him what he needs to do in order to become a Christian. And you know what's interesting? After he becomes a Christian, we no longer refer to him as Saul of Tarsus, but instead as the Apostle Paul. You see the change? Saul died, but Paul began to live. Paul put off the old man. He would later say in Galatians chapter 6, there in verse 14, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." As far as Paul is concerned, the world to him did not exist. It did not have its pleasures as they once had. It no longer had the ties on him that in which he was bound. And Paul says, as far as the world is concerned, he is dead to that. So many times today, people know this is who you used to be. This is what you used to do. And if they try to tempt us to go back to our former lives, do this again, enjoy, pretty soon they'll realize if we remain faithful, that person is long gone, dead. We no longer do those things anymore. But instead, Christ is alive and well. And as people look at us, that's exactly who they should see. As Paul says, "It is not I who lives, but it's Christ that lives in me." Similarly, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul explained that if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. commands and doctrines of men are going to perish. They're going to give us pleasure, it seems like, for just a little while. But that's why John taught us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, not to love the world or the things that are in the world, because they are passing away. Remember that if we do the will of Christ, we will abide forever. And brethren, that's what it's all about, doing the will of Christ. As Paul explained to the Corinthians again in verse 17 of our text, of 2 Corinthians 5, he says, all things become new. The former things are gone. And once we leave those things behind, we've got to look ahead. When you begin to look ahead, do you not change your way of thinking? Do you not say, well, this is what I used to do. This is how I used to think. But now, being in Christ, I have a new perspective. And as Paul is teaching to the Romans in chapter 12 in verse 2, he explains that perspective. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. No longer can I say, well, this is what Richard would want to do, but instead I need to ask, is this what God wants Richard to do? Is this where God wants Richard to go? I begin to change my way of thinking. Instead of relying on my own expertise and my own experiences, I can go to the Word of God. Because God has all the answers. He's been there before. He's done it all. He's seen it all. And He tells me all I need to know in His Word. That's why I continue to change my mind by studying it. And the more I study His Word, the more I find out what it is that I need to do. I'll begin to find a difference in what I used to do as opposed to what God wants me to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, there beginning in verse 22, Paul explained to the church at Ephesus there was a difference in what they did as opposed to what they should do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, Paul says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. God created us, did He not? He had a pattern for us to follow, and once we recognize that all we have to do is follow God's plan, it's going to be so much simpler. Similarly, in Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, he gives an exhaustive list of what to put off and what to put on. He says in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Again, there's no difference. We're all Christians, and Christ should be living in us. Therefore, in verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you almost must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for that God gives us a chance to change. Put off those things and put on the new. And so, as we begin going throughout this entire year, let's put off the old man with his deeds. Let's put on the new man, no longer walking like we used to walk. And how did we walk? Well, if we need a refresher, Paul explained that to the church at Rome. In chapter 7 and 8, he clearly explains that we used to walk according to the flesh. And if we served the flesh, we could not please God. But instead, if we walk after the Spirit, then we can receive the benefits. Particularly in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, Paul says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Are you at peace this morning? Do you have that hope of everlasting life? The old man would not, but the new man certainly would. If you need to respond to God's invitation this morning, if you need to be baptized into Christ, having your sins washed away, this is the perfect opportunity. If you have wandered away and wish to come home, or realize there are some things that still are not new, they're still the old, you can change that now. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?